Welcome to the Union for Reform Judaism's Parenting Podcast. This is Wendy Grinberg, Parenting Specialist, and today I'm speaking with Sharon Morton, veteran Jewish educator and founder and executive director of Grandparents for Social Action. What's the idea behind Grandparents for Social Action and why you started it?
I started Grandparents for Social Action after I went to a funeral. It was the funeral of the mother of a friend of mine. And her adult grandchild stood up and said, "I will always remember my grandmother's chocolate chip cookies." And it was very poignant. And he cried, and everyone in the congregation cried. But then I walked out of there, and I thought to myself, that was very beautiful for that grandmother and that grandchild, that my grandchildren will never remember my chocolate chip cookies. They probably will not remember that I have a kitchen in my house because I didn't get the cooking gene. So I started to think about, what is the legacy that I do want to leave for my grandchildren? What do I want them to remember, and what do I want them to be, and what do I want them to do when they're adults? And I decided that I wanted them to know more about how they can live as philanthropists, as social action activists. So I started Grandparents for Social Action. The vision is to educate and engage seniors to do social action, to empower grandchildren to improve the world, and to create a legacy from one generation to another.
So do you have a story of someone who participated in a Grandparents for Social Action experience that fulfilled that mission?
Well, there are many. I can tell you a couple. One of them is that the first part of my work with this is I had spoken to Ruth Messenger from American Jewish World Service, and she said she had a philanthropy fund for her grandchildren. It was in December, and I was taking my three oldest grandchildren, then 7, 8, and 10, away for a couple of days. So while they were gone, while we were together, I taught them the words philanthropist, philanthropic, and mensch. And then at the end of the 3 days, each one raised their hand, and they said, "I promise, because I am a lifelong philanthropist, that I will do philanthropic things forever because I am a mensch." And then they each got a big certificate with a gold seal on it, a big gold seal. And I have found that all three of the boys have hung those in their rooms, and they still hang in their rooms now 5 years later. Then we went, I explained how the philanthropy fund would work, and it's only $125 per child per year, so it's not a lot of money. I then took them shopping for their own Hanukkah presents because it was December, and all of a sudden the 7-year-old comes running up to me and says, "Bubba, Bubba, they're selling mittens for 50 cents a piece. My school is having a mitten drive. Can I use some of my philanthropy money to buy mittens for my school mitten drive?" "Absolutely," said I. And these three boys spent 2 hours at the mitten counter because they wanted to buy little mittens and big mittens and girl mittens and boy mittens and little scarves to go with each of the mittens. So, and now, since then, they come to me a couple times a year every time they want to do something from their philanthropy money. And then I'm lucky enough they all live in Chicago. So we go to the bank, and they take out the money, and we talk about why they are doing the particular thing they've done. And over these last years, we have talked about matching grants and that they have to take some money from their piggy banks as well. And we've talked about service because a philanthropist always does service as well. And these boys really do believe that one of the things they are in their lives are lifelong philanthropists. One other story that's really big is a friend of mine who lives in New Jersey has a grandson who lives in North Carolina. He was sick and had to go to a hospital waiting room, and he asked if there was a book he could read. The nurse said, "No, because we can't give you used books because other people are sick that come in and would use them or read them, and then they can't do that if you've touched it. So he went home and he talked to his mother and his grandmother and said, I should really have a few books in the reading room. And maybe the children in the hospital also need a book. Well, he called his grandmother. The two of them got on the phone. They started calling publishers together. They started doing all kinds of work. Long story short, they have now raised 10,000 books for the hospital, and they have been featured in the newspaper as these long-distance team that is working together, the grandmother and the grandchild.
So how does a grandparent get started?
One of the ways to get started is, first of all, to go on the Grandparents for Social Action website, and that's just one word, grandparentsforsocialaction.org, and sign up to get a monthly e-newsletter. They're all free, and each newsletter has a column in there that are quick ideas. So for December, for example, we talked about how do you vacation with your grandchildren and make some part of it something to do with social action. One grandfather said to me that when his grandchildren were little, he started a program where every time he took them away every year, every time he took them away, he developed a 20-minute conversation about some organization or some aspect of social action. And before dinner, they all sat and they talked about what they thought about it, why it was important, how they could help, and what they could do. His grandchildren are now teenagers, and they have asked him if they're going to be gone for 6 nights, and their 6 grandchildren, can each one of them start the conversation? And so each one chooses his own project that he wants to work on, and he leads that 20-minute discussion.
Do you think there are kids that are too small for grandparents for social action? Grandchildren
No.
that are too young?
No, certainly not. I think that the philanthropy funds that I talked about, we are hoping at one point there will be a community-wide effort in Chicago, and if it works, then we'll bring it nationally, where grandparents will put in a small amount of money when a child is born, and then the child will get a certificate when they're born saying you are now a lifelong philanthropist. And each year, a child gets a gift that says, because you are a lifelong philanthropist, here is a tzedakah box for you. Because you are a lifelong philanthropist, we have planted a tree in Israel in your honor, and we hope that you will use some of your piggy bank money to plant a second tree along with the one we've planted. About a year ago, I met with a couple of people who work with the Federation in Chicago. Wonderful, wonderful young people. And I said to them, how come the two of you went to work for a social service agency? If you had gone into the corporate world, you might have done something that would be much more monetarily lucrative. And yet you chose this particular course for your life. And this one girl said, well, that's easy. It's because when I was born, my grandma made me a lifelong member of Hadassah. And that was the reason she knew from the time she was a little girl that she had to somehow give back. So I don't think anyone can be so young or too young to be involved in the next right thing.
Do you think that this is a place that the organized Jewish community could help out or build on?
It's so important to take place in a congregation because if you invite the grandparents in as a group, then you get people who might be disassociating with the congregation because their kids are grown and they're already married, and sometimes they go on their way, to feel good about being reconnected with the congregation again. The rabbi and the educator and lay leaders can be speakers within this group. They can do things together that help that group bond together in their moments of joy and in their moments of sadness. When we retire, you're going to find out in a long time, when we retire, all of a sudden we need to think of who can we reconnect with in our lives? Who are going to be our friends? Because all of our friends who are working are very busy. So if we want to go to the Art Institute on a Tuesday afternoon, who do we call? Because we only knew people who were working. The other thing that we're trying to start right now is grandparent chapters. So the purpose of starting a grandparent chapter can be just socialization for the grandparents, because we have more seniors and grandparents today than ever before who are vital, active, and still have wisdom to share. And as we retire, we need a place where we can sit together and talk and dream and share our wisdom and think about what is our legacy. What is it that we have learned in our lives that we want to share with others? And there's one piece that I, as an educator, certainly should have mentioned. To have a grandparent in every child's classroom is vital. There was a woman who, her husband died, and one of her children, unfortunately, died, her grown children, and she didn't have grandchildren. And she was lost, and her congregation invited her to be the Sunday school Bubba. And she came through, and she read stories to the children in different grades. The children loved it. She spoke to them about the stories, about how important they were, and how they all had a social action issue, because that's the kind of person she was. And she was, first of all, she was admired, and second of all, it gave her purpose for her life.
So it doesn't have to be your grandparent, your grandchild. It can just be an intergenerational moment where, or relationship, ongoing relationship around.
Yes, that's so important that you said that. Because very often in our literature we talk about grandchildren and grandfriends, mm-hmm. because it doesn't matter whether it's your own or whether it's someone else's. It's reconnecting.
Thank you for listening to the Union for Reform Judaism's Parenting Podcast. You can find the links to the resources Sharon mentioned by clicking through to her page from the podcast homepage. Subscribe to the podcast, let us know what you think, and find more resources at urj.org/parents.